So Tim asked me to talk. Have you guys talked at all about exosomes?
I think Robin mentioned it a couple of times in the class.
We didn't. I think Sher mentioned it.
That's what I'm just wondering.
But not too much.
Okay. So I'm going to present some of the research that has been done by our group. In our group, it's kind of myself, Charlotte, and Esther. We have separate labs, but we really all work together. And so this is some work that came out of, hopefully you guys remember when I talked about the PAX7 DTA mouse, right? So this is a mouse where this was a strategy that we came up with to ablate or kill satellite cells in adult skeletal muscle. And our motivation was to try to determine if this stem cell population is required for skeletal muscle hypertrophy. And what we found was that, in fact, the hypertrophic response was almost identical between whether you had this stem cell population or you didn't. So I think some of the data that I presented earlier was the model that we use is called synergist ablation. So it's a surgical model where we go in and basically remove a portion of the gastrocnemius and the soleus, leave behind the plantaris. And so now the plantaris has to assume the functional responsibilities of the gastroc. And as a result, it hypertrophies. Okay. And I think the data that I showed was we would treat with tamoxifen that activates DTA, diphtherine toxin, in satellite cells, kills the satellite cells. We give a 2-week washout, do synergist ablation, and we do different ranges, but the data I'm going to show today is after 8 weeks. Okay. This is just showing you that. So SA is synergist ablation. After 8 weeks, what we're showing you here is PAX7 nuclei per fiber. So PAX7, if you recall, is a transcription factor that is specific to satellite cells, this stem cell population. And so this is just showing you that, in fact, we are able to effectively ablate this stem cell population. And after 8 weeks of synergist ablation, you'll see a significant increase in the number of satellite cells, and that we really don't see much of, if any, recovery of that stem cell population. And here, this is basically showing you that, if you recall, why does the field think that satellite cells are necessary for hypertrophic growth is that these satellite cells become activated and then they fuse into the growing muscle fiber. And the notion is that they're trying, the mechanistically trying to maintain this myonuclear domain, right? How much cytoplasm each myonucleus is overseeing. And what this is showing you is that, again, the vehicle, think of that as like your wild type. You see this increase in the number of myonuclei per fiber, which is what we'd expect. But in tamoxifen-treated, which is satellite cell-depleted muscle, there's no change. So, as we would expect, there's no myonuclear accretion. And here is muscle weight normalized to body weight. Again, think vehicle, wild-type, tamoxifen is satellite cell-depleted. And so what we originally published was out to here, and then we stop short. So we had a good story that the increase in muscle mass was the same whether you had satellite cells or didn't. However, when we took it, the synergist ablation out to 8 weeks, all of a sudden, the hypertrophic response pretty much, plateaued at about 2 weeks. However, in the wild type, the vehicle treated, which have satellite cells, they continued to get increase in muscle mass. So we would characterize this as a blunted hypertrophic response. And so then the question was, why is this? The field would probably say, well, right, again, you have, muscle cells are multinucleated. Each nucleus is overseeing a certain amount of cytoplasm. And as the muscle fiber gets bigger, right, each nucleus has to oversee more and more cytoplasm. But if you have satellite cells, you can add in new nuclei, right? So now you can maintain that ratio, whereas in satellite cell depleted muscle, that ratio, that myonuclear domain continues to get larger. And so one interpretation is that you've reached some ceiling, okay? And so the muscle can no longer grow. And in an effort to try to understand what is going on in muscle that has satellite cells or doesn't in terms of hypertrophic growth, we did a microarray. You guys are familiar with microarrays, right? So it's basically a way to look at the complete gene expression profile in a muscle. And so here what we did is gene expression has been normalized to the vehicle control. And then you have tamoxifen control, so that would just be your sham resting muscle. And this is vehicle, so satellite muscle with satellite cells after 1 week of synergist ablation, or tamoxifen, no satellite cells. And also I want you to note is that if you look at the black bars, there is a significant increase in a lot of collagen genes, okay? So that sort of to us was like, that's interesting, that collagen expression, while it goes up with normal hypertrophy, in some of the collagen genes, it goes up even more in the absence of satellite cells. So actually, Chris Fry did a lot of this work. So here he used this wheat germ agglutinin, which stains collagen. Is that right? Is it?
Yeah,
it's a way to look at
the glycan, which is
So it's a way to look at sort of how much collagen you have in the muscle. And so what he has here, you have your sham, so that's your control resting muscle. After 2 weeks of synergist ablation, 4 weeks of synergist ablation, and 8 weeks, and then that's quantified down here. And what you can see is that in the tamoxifen treated in satellite cell depleted muscle, all of a sudden around 4 weeks. You see a significant increase in the amount of collagen, or as we would interpret, fibrosis, okay? And I think that's pretty clear if you look at your vehicle or wild-type skeletal muscle or satellite cell depleted. So this red staining is an indication. And so what apparently is happening is in the absence of satellite cells in a muscle that is undergoing hypertrophy, you have an increase in fibrosis. So that opened up the possibility that maybe that blunted hypertrophic growth is not because, and they're not mutually exclusive, but that you didn't reach some myonuclear domain, but actually that this increase in collagen, fibrosis, is actually physically restricting the muscle from continuing to grow. That was one of the ideas that came out in our discussion within the group. So to test this idea, what Chris did is he did these cold culture studies. So he isolated primary fibroblasts or myoblasts, and then he cultured them. So I think here's a good example. So what he did is he got his fibroblasts and plated them on a dish. And then he had these inserts, and in these inserts, he plated either fibroblasts, okay, or these myoblasts. And then what he did is he collected the fibroblasts and looked at collagen gene expression. All right. Oh, the wrong place. Okay, I'm going to introduce this. So this is just quickly, what are exosomes? So exosomes are these small vesicles that cells can release, all right, and they can get into circulation. And the notion is that they contain different stuff, protein, RNA, all right? And they can be released from the cell, and then they can actually go and fuse to a recipient cell, all right? That it may be different. Typically, that's the idea, is that it's not. So if this is muscle or maybe a satellite cell, it's releasing these small vesicles. They're 50 to 100 nanometers, okay? So they're very small. They contain protein, RNA, such as like microRNAs, and they can fuse to some recipient, or as we often talk about, a target cell. And they release their contents into that cell and possibly change the biology of that cell. Okay? So in our, I'll kind of give you where we're going. What we think might be happening is that here is a satellite cell, and it becomes activated in response to a hypertrophic stimulus, and it releases these exosomes. And these exosomes contain microRNAs. You guys learned about microRNAs, or does that pretty anybody really know about microRNAs? One, two? Okay, so just quickly, microRNAs, as the name implies, are small RNAs, about 22 base pairs long, and they, it's amazing, they can bind to the 3' UTR, right, the untranslated region of an mRNA, and block the translation of that mRNA by the ribosome, and possibly target that mRNA for degradation. So all you have to do is remember that microRNAs repress, are repressors of gene expression, okay? So in our model, here's our satellite cell. It becomes activated. It releases these exosomes, which contain these small microRNAs, and they go and fuse to what we hypothesize is fibroblasts. They release their microRNA into the cytoplasm of that fibroblast, and those microRNAs target genes or genes that are involved in the production of collagen. Okay? So they are, in fact, repressing collagen production in neighboring fibroblasts. So then what happens when you remove, we kill the satellite cells? These guys no longer here, this mechanism is no longer functioning. So now those fibroblasts overproduce collagen, and the end result is we get this fibrosis. And the consequences of that is that the hypertrophic growth is blunted in the absence of satellite cells. So that's my story. But now I'll show you the data that actually supports that model. Okay, so he cold-cultured, right? He put fibroblasts on the bottom. Then he had an insert in the well, which was the myoblasts. And he cultured them together and then collected the fibroblasts and looked at collagen expression. So what you have here is fibroblast, it was fibroblast, or fibroblasts, myoblasts, okay? And what you can see is if he cultured the fibroblasts with the myoblasts, okay, he actually got a downregulation of different collagens and fibronectin, okay, also a component of extracellular matrix, all right? So here's relative mRNA expression. Now, if he took conditioned media, right, so media where he had fibroblasts and he cultured them and then he just took that media, or he had myoblasts and took that media, so we call that conditioned media, you can see that he gets exactly the same effect. So now that tells, and right, if you can recall, right, these cells are not in contact with each other. Right? So now, this data suggests that there's something in the media that is mediating this downregulation of collagen in the fibroblasts, and that it's specific for myoblasts. So it's there's something different in that myoblast conditioned media. So, of course, you go to the literature and you go, well, what could that be? And in the last few years, exosomes have been really hot. Everybody's excited about exosomes. So we were like, well, let's look at the exosomes. So here what he did, this is just him showing that we were able to isolate to some degree exosomes from that conditioned media. This is just a marker, CD81, of exosomes. Here he's just showing you that Chris isolated these exosomes and then he could label with a dye, acridine orange, that RNA inside the exosomes. And then when he put them on, I think these are fibroblasts. They look more like myoblasts to me. But in any case, he can show that he isolated, he took his myoblast conditioned media, isolated the exosomes out of them. He did a Western blot to show I really have exosomes. And then he took another part of that and he labeled, he put a dye that would label the RNA inside the exosomes. And then he put up those exosomes, those labeled exosomes, on cells. And he could show that that dye was transferred to those cells. Okay, so that's just showing that he actually is getting fusion of these exosomes. Then he repeated and he showed, okay, here's my fibroblast conditioned media, my myoblast conditioned media, and then fibroblast conditioned media plus myoblast exosomes. Okay, and what he basically shows you is that these exosomes, he gets the same effect. So based on that data, that suggests that the downregulation of collagen gene expression that we see in the fibroblasts is mediated, at least in part, by these exosomes. Okay? How am I doing on time?
You have 5 minutes.
Oh, it's gonna go fast. Okay, so then the question is, how are these exosomes downregulating collagen gene expression in the fibroblasts? So, of course, because our lab is also interested in microRNAs, and there's a lot of literature saying that exosomes contain microRNAs, we looked at microRNAs in the exosomes. Let's see. So, I'll skip this. This is a Dicer knockout. So, Dicer is an enzyme that is necessary for microRNA production. So the idea is if we isolated myoblasts from the Dicer knockout, that their exosomes should be, empty, in theory, empty. Okay? And so, in fact, what he shows here is when he does that, collagen expression is not downregulated. Okay? And this is just him quantifying that, in fact, microRNA, these are MIR, that stands for microRNA, MIR 206, 709, and 133A, their levels in the exosomes, in fact, is lower. We did it. So then we isolated the exosomes, and then we did expression profiling for microRNAs to see what was abundant. And the idea was we were looking for a microRNA that was highly expressed in the myoblasts, okay, was also found in the exosomes, was low in the fibroblasts, right? So in our mind, if you have the cell, this fibroblast, it has its own microRNAs, and if exosomes are coming in and fusing and delivering other microRNAs, for it to have any effect, we're like, hey, it's got to be a microRNA that maybe is very low or not even expressed in that fibroblast, right? You know, in my mind, it's kind of like, you know, a couple drops of water into a bucket. So if there's already a lot of water in there and you just put a couple drops in, no effect. But if it's not there, then the notion is you're going to have more of a biological effect. And so it turned out that 206 kind of fit the bill. And it was 206, microRNA 206, is predicted to target this RRBP1, which in fact, there is some data out there in the literature that this guy is a master regulator of ribosome synthesis. Okay? So now the working model, I should just speed ahead to it. This is us just validating that, in fact, miR-206 can target RRBP1. This is just more of that data. This is a Dicer knockout. Okay, so we did the experiment where we took, we actually generated a Dicer knockout, a satellite cell specific Dicer knockout. Because the idea would be if I knock out Dicer in these satellite cells, then those satellite cells, in fact, will have, their exosomes will be empty. And so then that should, what we say, phenocopy what we see in the PAC-7 knockout mouse, right? Well, we did the experiment, and it did not phenocopy. So we were like, okay, but we're not going to give up on our hypothesis. But part of it was we came to recognize, based on some research from another group, that Dicer is necessary for satellite cell proliferation. So in fact, what we found was that when we knocked out Dicer in satellite cells, subjected the muscle to a hypertrophic stimulus, those satellite cells became activated like they're supposed to, but then because they had no microRNAs, after about 6 days, they started dying. So then we were like, okay, well, there's no satellite cells, so we should have got more fibrosis, but we didn't. But we're like, wait a minute, they're still there for 6 days. So we're not going to give up on our hypothesis. Maybe you just need to have satellite cells during that first week of hypertrophic growth. And so I think that's what this is showing you, is that now what we did is we took our PAC-7 DTA mice, subjected them to synergist ablation, right? And remember, in the past, we would knock out satellite cells before we did synergist ablation. Now what we're doing is we subject them to synergist ablation, let them go for a week, and then give them tamoxifen and kill the satellite cells, and let them go out for another 7 weeks. And when we do that, let's see, this is just showing you that, in fact, we actually killed the satellite cells, and there's no myonuclear accretion. So this was the big picture. I think it's here. So what we're basically showing here was the normal response where you see it. This is serious red, I think, so just another stain for collagen. You still get this big increase in the amount of collagen in the absence of satellite cells, but when we ablate satellite cells after a week, the amount of collagen is reduced, or as we say, rescued. The hypertrophic response is also rescued. Okay? So that, based on that evidence, we concluded that blunted hypertrophic response that we saw after 8 weeks of synergist ablation in satellite cell depleted muscle was not because we reached the myonuclear domain, but because that fibrosis was physically restricting the increase in myofiber size. How am I doing?
Now I have 0 minutes.
Okay. So anyway, this is just our final sort of diagram of the results, and what we're trying to show you here is these satellite cells become activated, release these exosomes, in part contained in those exosomes, miR-206. miR-206 is released into the cell, a fibroblast. It targets this gene called RRBP1, which regulates, we're not completely blocking collagen production, but just kind of tamping it down a little bit, all right? So the conclusion from this study was that satellite cells are important in regulating the extracellular matrix or remodeling during hypertrophic growth. Okay. This was a paper, and a lot of this work was done by Chris Fry as well as Tyler Kirby, and Kate also helped out. Okay. And if you guys want to read it, this is a paper. That's it. But that's and so now we're continuing to work on exosomes.
And now we're looking at the role of exosomes. Where do these, some of these other exosomes, we're looking at exosomes that are released from the muscle fiber itself, and where, what are they doing? So maybe next year, I'll come back and give a little bit more. Yeah?